Join together in prayer this morning. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we gather before you together today, Lord, to worship you. Lord, we give you thanks and praise for who you are, Lord, for your almighty power, your ever-presence in our life, Lord, your all-knowing ability. Lord, we truly praise you and thank you for your God. Lord, we do submit to you, Lord, for your sovereign. Lord, we give you praise for the fact that you are in control. And Lord, no matter what we're battling, no matter what we're doing, when we stand in your presence, Lord, you have it. Lord, you're in control. So, Lord, we praise you and thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you give us. We thank you, Lord, for family, for friends, Lord, for this church family, Lord, for our jobs and our homes. We are truly grateful, Lord, that you have blessed us in so many ways. And, Lord, we thank you and praise you most of all for the love shown to us through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Lord, we come before you today in his name, Lord, seeking and asking for the forgiveness of our sins, for our shortcomings, and Lord, knowing that you are holy and we are not. So, Lord, we do pray that you'll help us to focus our eyes upon you, upon your holiness, and Lord, may that be our goal and our target. Lord, that we try and strive to be all that you've called us to be and all that you want us to be, all that you desire for us to be, and Lord, all that you will enable us to be through your Holy Spirit. Lord, yet we'll never be completely perfect, for only you are holy. But Lord, we do strive to be the best that we can be. Lord, we do lift before you the requests and the concerns that are on our heart, again knowing, Lord, that you know those needs before we even utter them. Lord, we pray for those that need your touch of healing in their physical bodies. Lord, we pray for Pastor and his heart. We pray, Lord, for Polly and the battle she's had, and others, Lord, that are struggling. Lord, we think of Ron Hurdle. Lord, we lift them before you and pray that you would touch and heal and intervene. Lord, we pray for those that are struggling with emotional problems or spiritual problems, and Lord, we pray for your Holy Spirit to work in their lives, Lord, they will just learn to lean upon you. And Father, as we've gathered to hear from your word this morning, we pray for your anointing upon Pastor Kyle as he speaks and delivers your message this morning. Lord, move him out of the way, and Lord, may your words come forth. May you speak to us, Lord, and may we be attentive and listen, and Lord, obey, and Lord, just learn and grow in our walk with you. Father, again, we thank you for this time. We pray, Lord, that we will continue to focus our mind upon worshiping you and giving you our full attention. We pray these things, Lord, in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. It's always a blessing being able to come up here and get ready to preach. Actually, in first service, I got a joke that it was actually, today is me and my wife's 7th wedding anniversary. So it's a very exciting day. But one of the things I joked with Darwin this morning when he was telling me all the stuff that he'd been doing wrong this week and weekend and making Polly angry, I was making fun of him. I offered to take him a ride in my Jeep and he could drive around the parking lot to get that thrill of driving. But one of the things I thought about as he was telling that story again here in second service, I wanted to go tell my wife, like, there's your future. Like, that's what you're going to deal with, because me and him think exactly alike. So it's kind of scary at times. So, honey, we've made it 7 years. Remember that when I'm his age and doing the same things. We're good. We can do that. So I just thought it was funny. And one of the things is we've been going through this week, me and him have been talking leading up to this surgery and or his operation and everything going on. And we were talking about series and all the trips and the different sermons that we've been talking about. And he said, you know, we've been talking, Holy Spirit, what is it? What's it going to do? How does it work in your life? You heard a little bit about it last week. And this is one of those topics that's really hard for me. I am not good at sitting and being quiet and being present. If any of you actually know me very well, I am not the person that sits and just prays quietly by myself. That's not my thing. I'm not good at it. And so I've been reading a lot of spiritual formation books and a lot of books on how do you hear God, how do you listen to God, and how do you just be present and silent. And I have friends who will do what they recommended to me was I needed to go to a quiet place for 8 hours and just pray and read and pray and worship and just do that for 8 hours. And if you know me, that sounds like torture. Like, for me to sit in one place for 8 hours is a scary idea. And my wife would actually tell you, even when I'm about to take some time off, and I have like a list of things at my house I'm going to accomplish when I'm done. So just the idea of like spiritual guide and listening and being a silent has been something I've been practicing and trying to work on. And as I've been reading and praying over this message and the different parts of the Spirit and what the Spirit does in our lives, it's actually caused me to do that. See, as I've been listening to these messages, one of the messages that I really enjoyed listening to was by a pastor named John Piper. And some of you may know him. And if you've ever listened to one of his sermons, he is very much like sporadic and exciting. And you can just tell he is excited about what he's preaching about. And one of the things that he said when he was talking about is the idea of our spiritual life. When God changes our lives and our hearts, it goes through and it floods like a river. And that's how our spirit should be flowing out of us. It should be flowing like a river, pretty much destroying everything in our path. Like, we should be going. And one of those questions that he asked, and I had to ask this to myself, was, how is my spirit flowing? See, I think some of you here today could probably say the same thing that I had to answer, where it's like, it's kind of dripping. It's like a leaky faucet. It just drips and drips and drips, and that's about it. Because we've limited it. We've said, well, this is how far I'm willing to go. And I'm not one of the people that believe that we can limit God in our lives, that God just, I believe God can do what God wants to do. But one of those things is we can stifle it. We can stop it. Our natural nature wants to. So the question to start with this question is, how is your spirit? How are these things working? And so when I was looking at this idea, see, we need it to be flowing like a river. We want it to be like a dam that's bursting out and flowing freely, that's going and people can see it, and it's pouring out to this community and it's pouring out to your friends, your family, your children, and all these scenes that it's affecting. And one of the amazing things that we talked about last week is, and what I love about Christ and God and who he is that he knew from the beginning that we would not do it correctly. That us in our own strength would fail, so he was going to send a helper. We're actually going to be spending a lot of time in John 14 today, so if you would want to start turning there, I'm going to reiterate a verse the pastor talked about last week, because I liked it so much, and it's actually John chapter 14, verses 16 through 17. And so when we're looking at these verses and seeing what's going on, I think it's amazing to realize how God knows in our own strength we're going to fail. See, one of the things about me, and maybe some of you are like me, so we can create a support group together probably, is I'm very independent. I don't like help, nor do I like asking for help. In fact, so much so that I almost collapsed our garage on top of myself this past, like, a year and a half ago, because instead I was redoing the garage, fixing rafters and all that stuff, and instead of asking for help, what I did was I actually just got a 4x4 and a car jack and just jacked it up myself and was like, jacking it, holding it, and then putting boards in on a ladder, and stuff would break, and I can see certain people shaking their heads at me. And my wife would every once in a while hear a loud crash, and I was like, either check or just don't come out because it could be bad. So sometimes the board would break and something would fall, and it was tons of fun. But that's the effort that I go to not ask people for help. I'm very independent. But see, that's the thing, is I more and more I go into ministry, the more God sanctifies me, I realize that I cannot do this walk in Christ by myself. I need the Spirit of God to indwell in me and be a part of my life and affect me in a way that I can actually go and do the things that he has called me to do. See, it's not just by myself, it's with my wife, it's my family. We are a team, but with that, our whole focus is who God is. So in John chapter 14, verses 16 through 17, it says this, and this is Jesus talking, it says, "And I will ask the Father that he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it is neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." And I love that passage. Notice just how Jesus brings up in the first part of the text that he will ask the Father. See, Jesus knew each and every one of us from the beginning of time. He knew who his people would be. And he was going through, and it's amazing to actually go and see that he's saying, "I'm going to go to the Father and ask for the helper." He was going to come and say that they need this, and the Father would grant it. I love the breakdown of verse 17 when you're looking, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive." See, that's the interesting, because it says the world neither sees him nor knows him. So that's a powerful option to actually see. See, the world rejects God. The world hates God. And here's the thing. When we're looking at the biblical view of the world knows God exists. Why would they fight it? If they don't believe in God and God's not real, why do they spend so much time trying to disprove it? If it's just not real, then why fight it? See, God has created each and every being in this world for a purpose. And when that purpose happens, there's either people who... So God is written on every person's heart. In their heart, they know, whether they admit that or not. So us as the Christian, see, we're different. We have the Spirit that actually indwells in us. And we're going to talk more about how that Spirit works in us here in a little bit. But see, when we're going through is, you as Christians should know Him. You know God. You should know God intimately. And we have to ask the question, what are the rules of this Spirit? One of the things I was challenged with is when I was listening to these messages and different things and reading text, is how often in my life am I on my knees praying that the Spirit will indwell in me in a way that it takes me to the most uncomfortable place and challenges me in my faith and my walk? That's something that we have to ask. So when we're looking at this idea of these particular jobs, is as we grow in the Spirit, we begin to realize that it brings understanding. See, the only reason that I can understand anything in this book is because of what the Spirit of God has actually given me. When we go through and we see this, we see throughout Scripture and the work that Jesus does is that He gave gifts. He gave things to them. He gave them wisdom, knowledge, all these things so that we would have this, so we would know what God has done in this world. So when we're going through and we seek this understanding and the Spirit indwells in us, we actually are going to jump up to John chapter 14, verses 25 through 27. It says, Jesus is speaking directly to them. He's talking to them. They've seen Him do these powerful things. And I love what's going through in verse 25. It says this, "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to you, I give it to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, and neither let them be afraid." I love the middle part of that. He will teach you all things and bring your remembrance all that I have said to you. This is where God's word is so important. This is what draws Him out. This is where we connect with God and who God was and what God has done, and we can see it. See, praying and being these things is all good, but where we connect with God and how we see what God has done and what He will do is through His word. It gives us understanding. When we read these words, there are usually one of two things that occur, and I've said this multiple times, and I still hold to this, and this is what affects my life. When usually when I'm in my daily devotion or even just trying to read or study or go through, usually one of two things happen when I read God's word, and this is why people usually get frustrated with it so easily. Either you read God's word and you say amen, and you're like, oh yes, like praise God for that, this feels so good, I love this, and then there's times when you read God's word and you say, that really hurts. That struck me. Maybe that's in the sense of, wow, that really convicts me. Maybe that's in the idea of, I'm not doing that. Maybe it's in the idea of, oh, wow, I really need to work on this in my life. See, when we're going through and we're looking at this conviction that the Spirit's bringing, that's one of the jobs that the Spirit does for you. It will bring things into your life that will point out and say, hey, you need to work on this. You're missing. Or maybe the Spirit's going to work in a way and say, hey, you're doing a great job at this. I know there's been times in my life where I've even gone through seasons where I've gone and questioned and been like, am I actually saved? Like, because I'm like, I see all these errors and I see these troubles and I see these problems that are in my life and they're not getting fixed and I'm not doing good at it. And I begin to question that idea. But that's actually God working on me. God's allowing me to feel that grace that hurts, that pain, the punishment of my sin, so that I will draw near to who He is. When we're going through this idea of sanctification, which means to make pure if you don't know, that's what conviction does. Conviction makes you hurt, so that way you will be sanctified. God's goal is to make us pure, to make us stronger, to draw nearer to who He is. And you don't have to go there, but it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and it's verse 12, and I love what this says. But we ought to always thank God for you, brothers, loved by the Lord, because whom the beginning God chose you to be saved through sanctifying work of the Spirit and through the belief in the truth. When we're going through these ideas and what God's doing, the Spirit is sanctifying you. Now, that comes in different ways. And we're going to talk a little bit here in a second about this quote that I really like. But see, when we love one another, if I love my brother or my sister in Christ, I want to see them grow. So when I see them do something incorrectly, I want to help them. I want to correct it. I want to be there. I want to build them up. And just what people do to me, that's what I love about my friendships that I have. I have some really close Christian friends that are my brothers who will hold me to the fire. And I have a great wife that holds me to the fire very well. Me and Daryl joke about how our wives do it quite often. So that's one of the things I love. And so when my wife or my friends come to me, one of my things that, you know, one of my friendships is with Dan Wigger in the back there, is me and Dan are very close. And one of the things that we do is we'll have coffee, and one of the things that I love about my job is I actually get to drop kids off, and Dan always comes with me on Wednesday nights to drop kids off, and it usually gives us about 2 hours to talk, because it takes for a long time to drop all these kids off. And so when we're having these things and we're doing these drop-offs, it gives us time to talk to one another, spend time together, but also to build each other up. See, there's been times where me and Dan would be on Saturdays getting coffee, and we would be kind of working on each other. So there are times where I've looked at Dan and I've said, Dan, the way you come off sometimes, you're a jerk. That's how that sounded. Well, you just said, that was very jerkish. And we've been able to talk through that. And it's not, and the same thing, he's come to me and been like, Kyle, the way you said that, that was wrong. In fact, I've joked with him. There was one day me and him met, and he spent like an hour and a half grilling me about the things I was doing. I think he saved him up for like a month. And so when he did it, at the end of it, he's like, wow, that really came off as I was just grilling you for like, this is like bash Kyle day. I was like, yeah, it was. So, but it's not to be mean or angry. It's to actually grow me. And it's the same thing for him. Like, I love him enough that I want to see him grow closer to the Lord. And the same thing that I would hope that all my brothers have for me. I've spent multiple nights talking to Daryl until 3 a.m. about the Lord, what's going on in our lives, the things that bother us, the things, and we just talk. And it's this growing relationship because we want to see each other grow. In fact, I'm sure Nancy and Rachel both get annoyed by us because we'll just interrupt our time and just sit there and chat for 2 hours. So when we're doing these things, those are things that we grow in. And same thing Pastor Darwin does, and we work together. And it's because we love one another. And that's the Spirit working through us. This idea of sanctification comes in through our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so then I love this quote. This is one of my favorite quotes, and it totally sums this whole, I could just say this and finish it. It's from Billy Graham, and it says, it is the Holy Spirit's job to convict, God's job to judge, and my job to love. Now, this quote gets abused in a lot of ways in the church today. It's not the idea of love in the sense of, like, we love everyone, love is love, and we are okay. It is our job to hold people to a biblical standard. So when my brother or sister sins, it's my job to love them enough to correct them. So don't take that as it's my job just to love them through it. No, you can correct people. That's good. But the idea of this is the Holy Spirit's job to convict. And that should be a freeing feeling. See, it's not the idea that you have to know enough. See, so long in my ministry, I thought I had to have enough knowledge and enough wisdom. Then on top of that, I had to make sure I used witty words and arranged my words in a way that it would drive an emotional response. But then also on top of that, I had to make sure it was really creative. I used really neat slides and made sure the slides tied into this. And I had to do all these things to make sure if I was going to speak God's word, then it was all on me to make sure the point got driven home. But see, that's the freeing part of this. It's not about me. And it's not what I do or what I say. See, God has given us a very particular job. And I'm going to share one of my favorite verses to you. It's Ezekiel 36, verse 26. And I love this verse. It says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you a heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. See, this is the idea of the Spirit. And I can attest to this. See, my testimony is actually like kind of boring because it was kind of that situation. I went from being this atheist that hated God to one night laying in my bedroom because I had a girl in my life that was sharing God's word with me and I was reading it because all I wanted to do was date her, but thankfully God's word usually works on you. And so as I'm reading this, I asked this question of, well, what would God have me do? And in my head, that was that moment. Why would I ask that question? I'm an atheist. I don't even believe in God. Why am I asking this? And it was because of those exact verses. That God had removed this heart of stone that I had rejected God with and implanted a heart of flesh to bring me out, to draw me in. See, we either are against God or we're for God. There's no happy medium. We become closer. We draw in. And that's the same thing that the Spirit does. See, if it's the Spirit's job to convict, you don't need to know everything. It's your job to go out and share it. See, one of the things that has changed about our world today is we live in a world that Christian language is no longer common. If you go talk to people, if you spend any time talking to somebody, most kids don't grow up in the church. Most adults didn't have a church background now. When you're talking to these people, they don't know what you're talking about. And it's your job to go and share it. See, the Spirit should be working in us in a way that we are growing and strengthening and we're going. And the cool part is when we grow and the Spirit's working on us, and the Spirit does, we actually begin to realize that it's going to do all the work. See, it's our job to love people, to go, preach, share, to share God's word, to use this in our everyday language, in our everyday conversations, that people notice it. See, when I'm talking to people, I'm using things that God would use. I'm talking to a person somewhere that he's going through a time and a season in his life. He doesn't believe in God, but he's in a depressed state. And he's like, how do you deal with all the things you do and not get this way? And I said, it's because of my faith in Christ. It's not me. I don't have strength to do this. You're right. This world is designed to crush you. Here's your hope. And that's just in my everyday language. But people notice this joy I have. And that's one of the things that we should be doing. We should be seeing. We should be talking, discussing, going through. When we go through and we realize that when we get questioned, you're not going to have all the answers. When people ask you the question of how do you know God exists, you might not be able to answer that question or feel like you have the best answer. But it's your job just to share, to talk. Don't make up answers, that's bad. But you can say, I don't know, and it's okay. And be like, I can get back with you. Because at the end of the day, the Holy Spirit is the one that's going to convict and change the heart of the person that you're talking to. See, before I thought it was all on me, but in reality, it's all God that's doing the work. He's changing hearts. It's my job to go and share it. And it freed me from realizing that, you know what? If I'm going to be a good Christian, all I have to do is read God's word, love who God is, and go and do, share, and hold people to the standard. When we go through and we see the same thing in Scripture, we understand the idea that it's pouring out into this world. We're actually going to be in John chapter 14, verse 12. It says this, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. And they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father." And Jesus is talking to the apostles here. And think about this idea. Jesus has told the apostles, you are going to do greater things than I have. Imagine the impact of that statement to them. They've seen Jesus heal people. They've seen Jesus drive out demons. They've seen Jesus turn two loaves of bread and feed thousands. And all these things have occurred. They've seen him rebuke the Pharisees. All this different stuff. They've even seen him rise from the dead. When they're going through and they realize this, what he's saying, I'm sure they had doubts. They had concerns. I mean, you have Peter, who we're about to talk about in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, where Peter was that overzealous, but he was so overzealous that he would screw up a lot. Like, he gets too excited almost. And so one of those things that when we realize this idea, I'm sure they were scared. They did not realize the burden that Christ had just put on them. And they just probably were like, how are we going to do greater things than the Messiah? But one of the amazing things is in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, is it's the day of Pentecost has just happened. And the day of Pentecost is when the Spirit came down from heaven and dwelled into the apostles and gave them these spiritual gifts that they would go out and show the works of Christ. And so Peter says these simple things to this crowd of people on that day. It says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And on that day, 3,000 people came to confess the name of the Lord as Savior, as their Savior. Imagine that idea. Not even Jesus had 3,000 people on the same day call him Lord. But Peter did. Those were the works that Christ was saying. When we're going through, we got to realize that Peter didn't say anything fancy here. It was very easy language. Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. Pretty simple words. Less than 20 words in 3,000. See, we don't have to have creative words. We don't have to know everything. We don't have to know all the answers. In fact, you never will. We, in our own strength and our own wisdom on this earth, will never be able to fully comprehend the vastness of who God is. And that's the powerful statement. Now, you should want to. I would love to know everything. I definitely know I don't. And so when we're going through and we realize these stuff, we can expect the same themes in our life as well. That Christ, if you are indwelling with the Spirit, that you are worked through the Spirit, that God will use you in a way that it can affect hundreds, thousands. You never know what you could do. When we're going through and we go back to that quote, like I said, it's the Holy Spirit's job to convict, God's job to judge, and my job to love. Now, it's not your idea to love in a way that everything's okay. I want to make sure that's driven clear. It's your job to hold people accountable, to hold them to a standard, to love them, care for them enough that you don't want to see. One of the things that always sticks out in my head, see, I love reading books, and I love reading books by atheists. It's one of my favorite things to read because you got to understand, why do they believe the way they do? Why do they think this way? What's going on? And I loved reading this book by Penn and Teller. They were actually talking about why he's an atheist. And one of the reasons he said he was an atheist was because he said, if you have the secret to death and you have this, then why are you so scared to share it or tell anybody about it? It doesn't make sense. And I was thinking about it. I'm like, that's right. Yeah, like, we have this idea in our head that we know death is coming. We know what happens when people die. And the Holy Spirit should convict us in a way that we want to see these people feel the breath of life. See, it's like the idea that there's a bus coming, and you can see it, they can't, you know that it's going to hit them, and if you don't say anything, they're going to die, but we just let them get ran over. See, this Holy Spirit should be is in work in a way that you can be freed, that you can just go to that person and be like, hey, there's a bus, the Holy Spirit changes their heart, and they get out of the way. It's our responsibility to share. See, we can trust in God's sovereignty and his will and what he will do, but God also gave us a responsibility to go and share with the world. It's our job to do this. And so we have this freeing feeling. Ultimately, God is the one who judges our hearts, but this doesn't mean that we can't hold each other accountable. We can. We can grow. It's how we grow with one another. We love one another enough to do that. When we truly do this, that's when we truly see the Spirit working. See, the Spirit is working in us through conviction, sanctifying, the changing of hearts, how we can come to him. It draws us closer to him. It's always working. And we should pray in that way in the mornings, in the evenings, and throughout the day. We know that this love is only given to us through that Spirit. And I want to encourage you this week that this gift of God that we're talking about, this Holy Spirit that's going to be working, the Holy Spirit that we're going to discuss in the next coming weeks, is a Spirit that's working in you every single day. And that we need to, as Christians, draw close to that and want that. We should want to read God's Word and know who God is because that Spirit draws us closer and draws us in. So what I want to encourage you this week is remember, you may not know everything, and you never will. But remember that there is a Holy Spirit that is in the works in your life that wants you to go draw out and share and allow it to work in people's lives. I can guarantee that you'll have people challenging you, that people will question you, that will say you're wrong, but just continue on that path. Allow the Spirit to go. So what I want to do is encourage you in this next coming days is pray and process who is in your life. Because there's a lot of you here that work with people every single day. Some of you don't work. Maybe you got grandkids. Maybe you have children. When we have these things in our lives, we should love them enough to care. It's like my child. Bentley's in his fun three phase where he doesn't listen. He knows better than me already and his mom. And it gets to the point where it's frustrating. But we love him enough to correct him. I don't correct him because I hate him or I want to make him angry. I correct him because I love him enough to show it. So one of those things that I want to encourage you this week is in your lives, really think about who has God put in your lives that you can share this love with, to share a love and act with, because you do not know how the Spirit is working in their lives right at this very moment, waiting for that time when you will stand up and share God's word with them or even just talk to them. A simple, how are you doing, can change someone's entire world. There's a guy that I work with right now, I used to work with many years ago, and me and him have been having a lot of discussions lately. and how God's working. And one of the amazing things, the only reason he started talking to me was because in the end, all I did was say hi to him and I talked to him whenever I would see him. And he remembered that from 5 years ago. And that's something that you can do as well. So I want to encourage you this week as we pray, really think about who's in your life and who you can have an impact on, that God is working. The Holy Spirit is working in our lives. God loved us enough that he chose us to come out and say he wanted us. So now it's our time to take that responsibility and do things with it. And that's freeing to know the Holy Spirit does all the work for us. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I come to you now to say and thank for how good you are, Lord. For all the things that you have done in our lives, the things that you do that we don't even notice, the things that we take for granted each and every day. But Lord, I pray that we will be a church and a people that come to you that would love that your fire would just be burning in us so bright that people in our everyday lives would see the light that pours out, the love, the grace, the mercy. Lord, I pray for this and all of these things, that we would be a church that's on fire for you. Lord, we pray this all in your name now. Amen.